This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:13 in the evening and you're with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And we are kicking off this hour in earnest by actually continuing a conversation from yesterday. So that was all about subsidies because, as we know, a couple of days ago, the government announced a new petrol subsidy scheme. It's going to target recipients of the Bantuan Sara Hidup. So around 2.9 million people are expected to benefit from it. And they'll be receiving payments in their accounts every 4 months beginning January 2020.
But economist Professor Dr. Jomo Kwame Sundaram had other ideas on how the government should implement subsidies. He suggested that the government should subsidise public transport instead of fuel, since this will benefit the B20 more. We talked about it on our market app, like you said, Lynn, and you can listen to that on podcast via our app or website. And yesterday when we were talking about it, you guys had a lot to say. So we wanted to just explore that possibility today and maybe just look into whether it would be possible and what it might look like here in Malaysia.
So, I mean, some of the messages that came through yesterday were, for example, from JC, said that before they can even do subsidy for public transport, improve it. Creating more construction of highways on ramps is not helping the traffic. Look at Cheras, for example. There's so many places where buses don't access, taxis don't go. If you're talking of O-Bike, the Malaysians have years to prepare for such luxuries. And walking to LRT at night or even in the evening is not as safe as 10 years ago. There's so many things to consider. Safety, access, time consumed from A to B versus driving and so on. But I do have qualms on subsidies. It's like a noose on our neck and someone will just tighten it by saying we've subsidized so much, that's why we now cannot grow to be a first world country.
Yeah, because we did run a poll on Twitter yesterday in which the options were basically, no, I prefer a fuel subsidy. Yes, I would prefer a public transport subsidy. And no, I want to do away with all subsidies. And the doing away with all subsidies actually kind of caught on a little bit more than I expected. Mm. But I do also think that a lot of this has to do with how we think about subsidies, because we expect we've grown to expect and to live with a certain amount of subsidies each year. Also, specific types, right? Like, mm-hmm. So fuel has always been there. Mm-hmm. The fact that the idea that we know that our petrol only costs X amount, that has always been a part of our planning, whether it's on a personal basis, a business basis. So if you start moving that around, I think that that just requires a mindset shift more than anything else, along with all that infrastructure, all that good stuff around infrastructure that needs to be shored up also.
And there is that idea that, you know, it's tied to like political considerations as well, because we, like you said, we are so used to having our fuel subsidized. So if you do take that away or change it in any way, it could result in the increasing cost of living for some people. So there's always that consideration as well when the government does their budget.
Well, I think if anything, if the subsidies, perhaps, if they do want to take Professor Jomo's consideration seriously, it's the fact that it has to be properly targeted. I think if it's just a flat out subsidy, it's not going to work, right? And that's why I think they want to move away from the fuel subsidy right now, because too many people who don't necessarily need it are getting it. And also to the point that right now there are some existing subsidies already for public transportation, and they are for those who are, I guess, more or less vulnerable. So elderly people have some sort of subsidy, and so do school kids.
Yeah. And under the budget last year, there was also the allocation for, like, you can get the 100 ringgit card for travel on Rapid KL.
So we just wanted to kind of wrap our heads around this a little bit to see what it could look like, what might change if we had this. But we also want to hear from you. Do you support the notion that we need a public transport subsidy as opposed to a fuel subsidy, or somehow both? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to Dr. Timothy Wong, who is a lecturer at the Department of Economics at NUS. Dr. Timothy, thank you for joining. So I guess first things first, what are your initial impressions of the announced fuel subsidy and the mechanism by which it's going to be given?
I think that it's inevitable that we need to be revamping the way we do fuel subsidies. Currently, and for very long periods of time in our history, have lived in a world that sort of sheltered us from reality. For many years of our lives, we've not ever had to pay the market price for fuel, and that distorts markets in many ways, right? The reality is the price of fuel, if you look at the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, it's gone up significantly, it's come back down, it's gone back up again. But these changes in prices are supposed to reflect to us the scarcity of this resource and the need for us to think about using different sources of energy, right? So as long as we live in this world where we are shielded from the true price of fuel, we have no incentive to explore these new avenues, to build our cities in new ways, to explore different modes of transport, explore different ways of doing business. So it's necessary for us to be moving away from this flat subsidy to everybody. This new mechanism, I think it's a pretty clever way to target subsidies more efficiently. We should be gearing our subsidies to the people who need them the most. Those people still deserve to be need to be protected from global fluctuations because they don't have the resources to respond to them. So the way that they're doing it by tying it to these BSH system and giving out a specific amount of money to people who own cars or motorcycles, there is definitely good logic to doing it that way.
Will this targeted fuel subsidy offer more savings and protection to its beneficiaries when we compare it to the current subsidies that we are enjoying?
So whether it is better for the beneficiaries or not really depends on how fuel prices will change. And if there's any lesson we should learn from the last 10 years, it's that it's really difficult to predict how fuel prices will move in the future. At current rates, I think if you use about 100 liters of petrol a month, we're looking at these beneficiaries probably breaking even. So I don't think they're going to be significantly better off with this new system relative to the old system. But the thing with this new subsidy scheme is that you just get cash, right? You get a $30 voucher. So if fuel prices rise significantly, these groups will not be as protected from those rises anymore.
When we spoke about this yesterday, one of our listeners, Stephen, was concerned that revising petrol upwards will ramp up inflation and choke growth. What's your take on that?
I think possibly in the short run. So in the short run, it really depends on how big the gap is between the subsidized price on December 31st, 2019, and whatever the floated price will be on the 1st of January. If there's a huge gap there, yes, in the short run, there might be a big ramp up in inflation. But if the current controlled price is not too different from what the floated price will be, then we won't see. So in the long run, though, I would caution against this argument, because I think in the long run, what is going to happen is people are going to substitute away from this energy source. So if I used to be driving, I may take public transportation more often. If I used to take trips that were unnecessary, I try to take them more efficiently now by linking them up or not taking them at all. So in that way, people will find ways to substitute away to alternatives that are less costly as the price of petrol rises.
You know, and while we're talking about public transport, we have, of course, a suggestion from Prof. Jomo, which has kickstarted this entire show, to have a public transport subsidy. How would such a subsidy work and be given?
Yeah, there are many ways that this type of subsidy can be administered. The most straightforward way is to subsidize infrastructure and assets. So the buses, the trains, instead of spending this money on subsidies for petrol, you could have all of that money spent on the assets of the public transport system so that public transport is more affordable, right? Another way that you could do it is you could actually subsidize fares. So you could say that for, 25%, 50% of transportation fares are subsidized by the government. Or if you want to be even more targeted with it, you could have separate differential public transport prices for the poor and have the subsidy be targeted that way. So a $30 voucher for public transit, for example. So there are many ways for that to work.
Are there possible ramifications to doing this? For example, it could be argued that public transport should inherently be affordable and accessible. Would providing a subsidy affect how companies and services price their tickets?
Yes, that certainly is a concern. So if you have one provider of public transit in a small city, a small town, and suddenly there is this injection of government money to public transit, they may just raise their fares, right? And they get to absorb some of this and they walk away with some of these profits. So if you are to provide a subsidy directly in terms of fares, there may need to be regulation on fares.
So if we look at how other countries are doing it, right, the Hong Kong government is essentially subsidizing 25% of people's spending on public transport after the initial 400 Hong Kong dollars in a scheme that isn't means-based. Would we be able to use any of that thinking or method to consider a scheme of our own?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way. In Singapore, they subsidize one Singapore dollar for every single public transit ride that's taken. So there are many ways you could go about this. When it comes to Malaysia, I mean, I think there's a lot of liberty for the government to consider what they think is best. And they should certainly rely on these different examples in different countries, right?
Right. But with that said, I mean, one of the big questions to come out from this really is, how is it going to work for people here in Malaysia who don't live in areas that have that easy access to public transport?
Right. I think that Jomo's quote on a public transport subsidy is certainly limited to the areas that are sufficiently urban that you have public transport. The reality is that poor people across this great nation of Malaysia all have different sort of access to transport. If you are in a really, really rural area, public transport subsidy is not going to mean anything, right? So maybe one way that we need to think about the general direction of ensuring that there is transport mobility for the poor is not to look at things at such an aggregate level. Maybe we need to be considering our policies on a more detailed level, right? So considering the type of accessibility problems that people in a small town face, then the solutions to that should be different from the type of solutions that we have for the poor in KL. I think that is the important sort of takeaway from these discussions, that we really need to be working towards solving the specific problems of accessibility for the poor, and that will take more than just one blanket policy like this.
Yesterday when we discussed this, we received a message from Dr. Chok, which stated that Prof. Jomo is economically correct, however, politically not quite correct at this moment. Imagine government removing this fuel subsidy. It will infuriate the B40 and M40 that had bought cars. Would you agree that this would be a politically unpopular move?
It is politically unpopular to some degree. Withdrawal of any sort of benefit is always going to be politically unpopular. In the government's defense here, I will say that they have given plenty of lead time, right? So the government announced the intent to reform the fuel subsidy system a long time ago. And then it's taken them a long time to come up with the system, and they're only implementing it in 2020. So the people who have bought cars since May of 2018, they probably have bought that car with knowing that fuel subsidies would be withdrawn or reallocated. And so in that sense, I think it may not be as politically difficult, because there has been this awareness for a while that these fuel subsidies were not here to stay for forever. The other thing I think to point out, which is really important, is we shouldn't allow our policies to be motivated too purely by political incentives. I truly believe that's the right thing to do to remove these fuel subsidies. It's unsustainable to shield our societies from the reality of the scarcity of resources in this world. Our biggest concern should really not be on how people will vote, but on how we can make sure that in transitioning away from these old policies, we don't hurt the people who are affected by this transition in a too severe way. We don't want to introduce shocks that will suddenly cause people's lives to be incredibly difficult. So it's important that the government does smooth this transition in some way.
And another tweet from Lone Azrula reads, fuel subsidy for B40, public transport subsidy, savings from the 2 ringgit 8 cents capped for M40. What would your dual subsidy system look like, and do you think it's a good idea?
I suppose what this tweet is suggesting is that we maybe tie a public, in addition to this sort of vehicle type subsidy, we also provide a public transit subsidy for those who don't have cars, for example. I mean, it could certainly work. A big part of this question is, can the government afford to add a second layer of subsidies? I guess Jomo would say that he would prefer this B40 public transport subsidy instead of the fuel subsidy. In general, I think it is a good idea. We should be, at least in cities, moving people towards public transit. So yeah, I think it could work. A question that you have to throw the Ministry of Finance then is, can we afford it?
We are also receiving a few messages that are saying just no more subsidies, no point having them. And yesterday we also saw a tweet from Manlun that said no subsidy at all, allocate the resources to improve public transport infrastructure and assets in urban and rural areas, schools and healthcare. Do you think such a thing, along with a shift to renewable energy, is a possibility in the long term?
I mean, I think that is the hope, that in tandem with these initiatives to move away from fuel dependence, which, to be fair, has been done by the current government, was also done by the previous government prior to the last general election. Yes, so in tandem to that, there needs to be policies that sort of steer us towards renewable energy, clean energy. But I think a big part of innovation comes from the reality that we live in. So as prices change, people innovate. And I have faith that Malaysia is a pretty industrious nation. And so in facing these higher prices, yes, the reality is that in the short term, things will be slightly more painful. But in the long term, people will make different decisions. And people will come up with different solutions to meeting the transportation needs that they have using fewer resources. And so I really do think that it is possible.
Dr. Timothy, thank you so much for weighing in. You just heard from Dr. Timothy Wong, lecturer at the Department of Economics at NUS. And we're talking about the possibility, just trying to imagine how it would look like if we were to replace our current fuel subsidies, our recently announced fuel subsidies, with public transport subsidies. Instead, we want to know if this is something you would support. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.